When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome once again to the Chelsea podcast. This is our preview show. We're looking forward to our match against Fulham at the Bridge on Saturday early afternoon. And as ever, I have the majestic Mooch with me. How are you, pal?
I'm good, man. Well, I'm all right. As most Chelsea fans are. Yeah.
Yeah, but a trial of a week, frankly, but there we go. And we're also very pleased to welcome back a gentleman from who joined us when we played Fulham at the Cottage, just before that game, from the Fulhamish podcast, Drew Heatley.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
You're very welcome, mate. You're very welcome. So let's get straight to how it's going as far as you're concerned. We could talk for hours, and in fact have, about the train wreck of a season that we're having. But I suppose for Fulham it's been a bit more mixed. There's been some highs, there's been some lows. How do you see it? What's your half-term report?
So far, so good, I think. You know, we didn't replace Mitchell in the summer, which has been the story of the season, and of course it would be, you know, because we're losing so many goals. But it's been an interesting ride because Marcus Silva's been... implementing a slightly tweaked change in our style, you know, not playing directly to Mitro every week. You've got to try and find new ways to score goals. And when we played you last time, we weren't creating any chances whatsoever. And it was just, with hindsight, it's symptomatic of that change of system and everything bedding in. And it's starting to come together now. And you can just see that in the terms of, you know, scoring five goals without reply two games in a row. And, you know, we scored, I think, 10 goals in our first 12 games and then 22 in our next three. So it's, you know, everything started to work. So I'd like to say we're on the up and then throw in a cup semi-final, and it's probably kind of more, to be honest.
I mean, Jimenez obviously suddenly started to look a bit more like the player that you'd hoped you'd bought. But, you know, having said that, you know, the Christmas period's been odd. You had those big wins, and then you had a couple of disappointing losses. I think it was Burnley and was it Forest was the other one?
We lost to Burnley, we lost to Newcastle away, and we lost to Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, that was it, yeah. And then, of course, you had a win over Arsenal, which is obviously always pleasing. So it's still been sort of quite up and down. Is there any particular reason for that, do you think? Have you been missing players, or just the system not bedding in yet, or...
Over Christmas, it was Jimenez's red card for sticking his arse in a Newcastle player's face. He got sent off. And, he was just coming into form, and we'd figured out how to play to him, and it was all coming together, and then he got sent off and banned for three games.
It was like a karate leap, wasn't it?
Yeah, he jumped up with his foot in the air, sort of twisted his body midair, and ended up connecting cheek to cheek. It was one of the more bizarre reds you'll see. But
dirty play.
That just knocked us completely off track because we had just started getting it all together. And then next thing you know, yeah, we're conceding, you know, three goals a game across the Christmas period. But, you know, for, you know, beating Arsenal at home on the last day of the year as some band-aid, it kind of made everybody forget about the rest of it.
Yeah, we had our three wins on the spin, and I think that all gave us a slight sense of well-being that perhaps wasn't quite deserved ourselves, to be fair. Mooch, if you could cast your mind back, I think, and I'm sorry to say this, Drew, but I think the Fulham away game was actually one of our more trouble-free games this season. It was one of the ones that I felt we won with a tiny bit to spare. Do you think we'll have lessons learned? Do you think we'll go into it with the same approach? I mean, we had goals for a slightly fortuitous goal for Broja and a lovely one from Mikhailo Mudrik. But given what we've had in the week, do you think either of the players will even be starting?
I think Broja might just because of the flack that Poch seems to be sort of getting from playing a false nine the night before. I'm itching to see Broja sort of get a few more games. I know that he's coming back from this injury, and it's a sort of a slow embed back into the team. But I'm confused by a lot of the selections. I'm confused by a lot of the performances as well, because although we did have three wins on the bounce and we were confident going into the game against Middlesbrough, that's obviously not the case now. And I think we're in a similar situation to what we were when we were last playing Fulham. We were kind of... Well, it's been the same all season, really. You know, we're worried about it now, maybe that's when we seem to perform, when we're the pressure's on and we have to pull something out of the bag so that it's not just a couple of losses on the bounce.
Yeah, I mean, I do think obviously playing at home, although obviously 2 miles up the road from Fulham is not that much difference, but playing at home gives us a... we do seem to be a little bit better there, and we also have the fact that we've had the extra day's rest, and Fulham have had we both had long trips, haven't we, up to the north? But notwithstanding that, there's a second leg to come. I think it's fair to say we've had both sets of fans have had mixed feelings about their Carabao Cup first leg results and performances. What did you make of yours, Drew?
I was overall happy. I wanted to go into the second leg with a goal in it. If we were going to lose to Liverpool at Anfield, which I think most people would have had us to do, I didn't want it to be a hammering. And to be fair, our last few games with Liverpool have always been quite tight. That said, it wasn't the strongest Liverpool lineup last night, and we came out of the blocks really well, and we sort of flagged as the game went on, and they went into the ascendancy. So you do wonder what could have been. But actually, I think Fulham are an interesting side. You could see when we conceded the equaliser last night, we let the crowd get on top of us, and next thing you know, the opposition scores twice in quick succession. And I think if we were leading at half time, as it were, in these two legs, I don't think that's a position that we're particularly good at. So I think chasing it in the second leg is probably just about what we want. I'm not, no complaints really.
Okay, well, you're probably a little bit happier than we are, because we had a torrid night, really, where players played out of position, failed to do the things that they should do in those positions. Obviously, we were beaten. That was bad enough in and of itself. And, the tie's still alive. But I think the general consensus was it was a pretty piss-poor performance. And I suppose the only way really to look at it is the only way is up for this weekend. Did you come through it? Did you come through your semi unscathed? I know there was the lad who's down just before half-time. Can't remember which player it was, but... did you come through with significant injuries? Who's going to be, anyone going to be missing for you? Come on, throw us a bone.
No injuries, just AFCON, which I know affects most of the teams in the league. We're missing Iwobi, Alex Iwobi and Calvin Bassey, our centre-back. They're both playing for Nigeria. And our reserve left-back, Fodo Ballatore, is also not there. But other than that, no, I think we should be full strength. I should imagine it'd be unchanged from the 11 that played against Liverpool, although... Bobby Di Cordova-Reed, our right winger, came in for a bit of flack for shooting last night when he should have squared it, and which would have put us two up. So I don't know whether that's going to factor into Silva's mind. We've got plenty of people on waiting in the wings, as it were, Harry Wilson being the main guy. So it might have that swap. Other than that, I'd expect unchanged.
I mean, what else do you think might change from our lineup from Tuesday night, Drew? Because, I mean, I think it's fair to say, although people have disagreed with me on Twitter, I think it's fair to say that Cole Palmer shouldn't play false nine. I mean, look, I know he's got some abilities. I know he can score a goal. He can put the ball away. I just think he's so much more effective for us and for the team when he's playing a more a much deeper line position, or sort of centre of midfield, number 10, or even wide on the right. But so I don't think that will happen again. I can only assume Roger was left out because, again, we're bringing him on slowly, or perhaps because he's our only fit striker, we're protecting him. But do you think he starts? Have you heard anything about whether Nkunku will be back with us? From the rant that Pochettino did on Sky Sports, I'm suspecting that Nkunku won't be back. Any other changes that you think?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Broja's got to start. I agree with you. I think Cole Palmer probably could eventually play a false nine role, but I don't think it's the right time to sort of throw him into this, especially with the glaring miss that he had. And to be honest as well, I think in the Middlesbrough game, we missed him a bit further back, creating those opportunities and chances. And fair enough, he's called Cole Palmer normally, but he fluffed some of those chances there. Let's not put him in the spotlight again. And if it happens again, then we've knocked our one-star player's confidence and we're really fucked. When we've got Broja, who is a big, strong lad, who can head the ball, who can do a job there, and has got previous from the first fixture of the season. So he's got to start. I think Cole Palmer starts. I think Sterling starts. And I think Mudryk will start. I don't think Sterling had an amazing game, but I wouldn't be too bothered if Sterling started instead of Mudryk.
Well, I think Sterling will start on the right and Mudryk will start on the left, because I think Nani Madueke possibly, you know, who was the one who had probably the most work to do to keep himself in the side, rightly or wrongly, probably didn't really cover himself in glory on Tuesday night. The same goes with Levi Colwell. I'm really, really hoping that we can
play him in position.
Chile's not back, and he's not. I'm sure he's not back with enough fitness to start. We simply don't have another left back unless we do what we did against Preston and play Malo Gusto there,
and Alfie Gilbert
on the right.
Yeah.
Or De Sarzi on the right. Yeah. It'll be really interesting to see what happens. We keep being told that Chilwell, Chukwuemeka, and Badiashile are kind of on the verge or should be back with us. We've seen pictures of them in training. Whether or not that will actually come to fruition or not, we shall have to wait and see. I just want to say about the Palmer thing, which isn't to say that, you know, listen, it's not to say that if Nicholas Jackson had had those chances, he wouldn't have fluffed them, or indeed Broja. My point is that he better serves the team somewhere else, and we've got a striker, so why not play the striker and, you know, give them the chance to make the fluffs? So we might as well cut to the chase, chaps. What do we think is going to be, what do we think the outcome's going to be here? Drew, now Mooch, let's go to you first.
No. Come
on, mate.
I think I said some horrific things. I think I might have said some over-egged comments previously in the last pod, which I'm going to stick to, and we're going to stuff them. I think I previously would I say 2-0 or something like that, 3-0. I don't know if that's going to be the situation. I think it's going to be a really tense first half. And if we get an opportunity and put it away, then we'll feel a bit more relaxed and we might go on and get a bit more of a result. That's what my head says, my heart says, 2-0.
Go. Head and a heart prediction, or one and the same if they are?
The head prediction is looking at the table and looking at the form table for the last six games or so. We don't draw a lot of games, Chelsea and Fulham. We it's feast or famine, isn't it? So, you know, that being said, probably going to be a draw.
Nil-nil ball.
Yeah, no. But, and you know, we're going the same in the form at the moment. You know, we lost 3-1, three out of our last six. So it's a tough one to call, but you guys are at home. So, I mean, I think my head says a draw or a narrow Chelsea win, but obviously my heart says that first win at the Stamford Bridge in...
18 years, wasn't it? Is it that long?
Yeah,
long time. Before I came.
Oh, the bridge. I think was it 80?
The first in my lifetime. But you know, last season we had our first win against you at any competition or any ground in 16 years. So who's to say? I don't know.
Good time to be playing us. I think it's going to be one of those ones where the first goal will make a lot of difference. I think if we go behind and the crowd is restless, given what happened on Tuesday night and, you know, some of the sort of frustration that spilt over that, it could be bad for us. I am going to go, my head says a one-all draw, but my heart says we'll nick it. If we get the first goal, we'll nick it, certainly, and it will be 2-1 or 2-0. That's covering quite a lot of bases, isn't it? that's how I can firmly come on the next week and say, I predicted that.
Yeah.
No, I really did predict 3-2, Chelsea-Luton.
Yeah.
gents, I think that about covers it, really, doesn't it? Thanks so much for your time. If you're going to the game bright and early on what will be tomorrow morning or early afternoon, enjoy and keep the blue flag flying high. We'll be back soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.